The United States has asked Bahrain to do more to ensure stability as the Al Khalifa rulers face more than 2 years of popular protests. While U.S. officials have acknowledged the regime is holding protesters on vague charges, torturing them and pursuing a discriminatory domestic policy, Bahraini activists say they're disappointed with the positions adopted by the U.S., the U.K. and other Western states, which seem to be willing to turn the other way when strategic interests are concerned. So where is the Bahraini uprising headed? Can the regime crush dissent through even more force? Stay with us for another edition of The Debate.
The Bahraini regime is continuing its crackdown on dissent. Bahraini regime forces are on permanent alert to crush the protests against the Al Khalifa dynasty, which have been going on across the kingdom on almost a daily basis for more than 2 years. The clampdown has left large numbers of people dead. Many have been imprisoned. Many others have lost their jobs for supporting the revolution against the Al Khalifa regime. And all this is happening right under the nose of the West. The pro-democracy uprising in Bahrain has exposed what many call the Western double standard when it comes to human rights and the crackdown on popular protests. While Western governments have paid lip service to protests against some other governments in the Middle East and North Africa, they have chosen to remain silent on the crackdown in Bahrain. They have refused to slam the Manama regime's repressive tactics against pro-democracy protesters. And they greet Bahraini officials warmly, particularly the king. The Al Khalifa regime was installed by the UK some 2 centuries ago. The hereditary monarchy has had the same prime minister for the past 4 decades, which has angered the Bahraini people deeply. Meanwhile, the regime has been accused of using dictatorial measures to deal with any kind of dissent. That shows that the uprising in Bahrain is not a sectarian movement as the regime tries to pretend, but a pro-democracy movement aimed at ending a despotic system. Bahrain has enjoyed the US's full support. The kingdom is home to the US Fifth Fleet, and Washington has repeatedly described Manama as a strategic ally. The White House has also defended the Saudi military intervention in Bahrain to crush the uprising there.
You're watching The Debate. Let me introduce our guests for you in London, Mr. Qasim Al-Hashimi, chairman of the Bahrain Freedom Spring, and with us from Washington, Mr. Richard Hellman, president of the Middle East Research Center. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being on this edition of The Debate. I'll put my first question to Richard Hellman, our guest in the United States. Now, Mr. Hellman, a recent State Department human rights report we're hearing has criticized Bahrain for citizens' inability, I'm quoting here, to change their government peacefully, arrest and detention of protesters on vague charges, torture in detention, discrimination on the basis of gender, religion, nationality and sect. But the question is the American response to all this proportionate?
I think that the Americans wished that all nations of the Middle East and the world have more democracy, more freedom, more respect for human rights. But in the case of Bahrain, the suspicion is that the regime in Tehran, President Ahmadinejad and the Ayatollahs and their forces are fishing in troubled waters, and they wish to destabilize Bahrain and take it over or control it, just as they wish to do in Iraq and Syria and through Hezbollah in Lebanon and through Hamas in Gaza and so forth. And so I think we have to look at the source of the unrest and uprising and ask, is it more the Iran regime? And if so, should we not be focusing on having full, fair, and free elections in Iran in a month,
yes,
a little more than a month, and perhaps seeing that Iran has this time fair elections and full respect
right now,
for
Mr. Hellman,
all
the
question, rights of its people, including Christians and Baha'is and so forth.
I'll just jump in here. The question that I put was whether you think the American response was proportionate. But before I continue this question with you, let's just bring in our guest from London as well, Mr. Al-Hashimi, and put the question that you raised earlier Mr. Hellman. Now, Mr. Al-Hashimi, I guess Mr. Hellman was saying there that Iran has a role in creating instability in Bahrain. We do know that no report has come out. There hasn't also been evidence suggesting that Iran is involved. But because that was something mentioned by Mr. Hellman, what do you think about it? What's your response to that?
Bismillah. Thank you very much for having me in your program. We are used to hear such stories and such reason from Mr. Hellman's United States, UK, Europe against the Islamic Republic of Iran being involved in Bahrain. While the leaders, the political leaders in the Gulf, in the Arab Gulf states, several times denied and refused accepting that there are any involvement for Iran in Bahrain or in the other side. Plus, Dr. Bassiouni himself has mentioned in his report that there are no evidence at all for Iran to have been involved in Bahrain. I mean, the United States, as Mr. Holmes said, they suspect, and suspicion is not approved. And why, if they suspect also, they just ignore all Bahraini's national demands? I mean, if I suspect that there are an involvement in United States for Cuba, for example, do I have the right to banish all the United States nation? Yes. Because if I just have a suspicion only? Now, those Bahraini's people are facing a sectarian. Do they face a terror from the government? Do they face a sectarian from their government, and they are being, yes, their right has been abused or not? Now, if their right has been abused, it is the duty of United States, as they always claim they are a supporter for democracy around the world, it is their right, whether they have suspected or not, it is their duty to stand with us, with Bahrain. Right. Now, how does he approve that even if there are a suspicion, even if he has a proof, not even a suspicion, if he has even a proof of involvement of Iran, we still have the right to be protected.
Well let's just stop you there, Mr. Al-Hashimi, if I may. Yeah, the question that you bring up here, I'll put this to Mr. Hellman, and that was basically the question that I asked him at the beginning of the program. Now, Mr. Hellman, we know that U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry held talks with his Bahraini counterpart. It was held behind closed doors. And U.S. officials were saying that Kerry noted the reforms that Bahrain has made and encouraged them to do more to ensure what he called long-term stability in Bahrain. But people there in Bahrain, activists, are saying that no reform at all has been made. And again, what has the United States, what has the United Kingdom, which are considered Bahrain's allies, been doing for the human rights violations that they acknowledge are happening in Bahrain?
Well, there, Secretary Kerry and the other U.S. Leaders who are involved with negotiations and deliberations with the Bahraini officials are saying the right thing, and time will tell if they are using all the pressure or all the ways that they have at their disposal to increase freedom and transparency, democracy, fair election, and so forth, rights of free speech and demonstration, and the right to ask your government to urge the government to change and to better reflect the will of the people. But there is a limited amount that any outside government can do. We look at today where Bashar al-Assad, with the help of Iran's regime and the Russians and even the Chinese, are butchering perhaps 80, 90, 100,000 people. And of course, on the other side are perhaps Islamist forces who are also committing
allegedly
some atrocities.
In fact, because you raise Syria,
so
there, I'll put this question again to
civil
you.
Civil war in Syria, but there's a limited. But it's a, I'm saying by analogy, is a limited amount that nations feel they want to do from outside, and nobody wants the United States to invade Bahrain because, of course, they feel that in 2003 it was a mistake when we invaded Iraq. Now we've left, and they say we should have gotten out of Afghanistan. Now we are leaving next year. So nobody wants the United States to invade Bahrain. So short of that, the U.S. can use good influence. But there is the there is always the big power on the side, the regime in Iran, which is fomenting and encouraging revolution and, in fact, the overthrow of the
Mr. Hellman, now what
Bahrain
you say there
government.
Is say
so
that the situation
it's
in
a delicate,
Syria.
It's a delicate balance.
Okay. You're saying here that the situation in Syria shows that the United States would not want to intervene militarily either in Syria or in Bahrain. But precisely the issue that critics are putting up, I'll put this question to our guest in London. Precisely the issue that critics are saying, Mr. Al-Hashimi, is at least the United States is not coming out as verbally as it is, in instance, for Syria in support of the people in Bahrain and at least discussing what should be done, putting solutions forward. So a lot of people are referring to the strategic interests involved here. We know that the U.S. Fifth Fleet is in Bahrain. Do you think if the current Al-Khalifa rulers are to go, that this would affect that naval base and consequently U.S. interests in the Persian Gulf region?
It's indeed.
Well, I'm sure
that question
is
to Mr. Al-Hashimi.
Real concern of the State Department and
Mr.
the Pentagon.
Yeah, that question to Mr. Al-Hashimi, I'll come back to you.
Yes, I'm sure this is a real concern.
Yeah.
I'm sure this is a real concern of the of
Mr.
the State
Hellman,
Department and the Pentagon.
I'm really
and the
sorry,
White House
Mr. Hellman. That question
that,
was directed at Mr. Al-Hashimi in London. We'll allow Mr. Al-Hashimi.
Excuse me.
Okay,
go ahead.
We'll come back to you, Mr. Al-Hashimi.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Excuse me. Go ahead.
Well, I with respect to Mr. Holmes from United States, I would say Bahrain has been invaded, and it is invaded right now by the United States. United States base has been in Bahrain for the last over now for over 45, 50 years, and they haven't taken the voice of Bahraini's people, whether we wanted them to be on our land or not. They are not welcome. But we are not violent, and that's why we are telling them get out of our island. So they are invading Bahrain. He should not deny that Bahrain is being invaded by the United States and are invaded now by the Saudi army. That's number one. Number two, who said that the United States does not support the regime in Bahrain? They are. And however, in December 2012, the United States and the United Kingdom has submitted a suggestion, a paper to Bahrain and Saudi regimes to get out of the present crisis in Bahrain. In January, those suggestion has been approved. And that's why a week after middle of January, the government of Bahrain called for a dialogue. There is no dialogue. It is a suggestion. It is a paper. It is a plan, a United States plan, a UK and United States plan to support the regime and to bring the position in Bahrain as the same as far as before on 2011, the 14th of February. But because they cannot market that plan, because the majority of Bahrain wanted to get out of this crisis by saying down Hamad, those United States and UK, they wanted to bring Bahrain back before February 14th, 2011, and bring back the king as the full power with a very little change. We are saying that United States, if they wanted to be a fair involved in Bahrain, they should take into the consideration the demand of people in Bahrain, not putting a suggestions and a plan to support the regime and ignore the demand of the people. That's what we want. Plus, there is one more point. If you gave me 1 second only, there is one more point. Why Mr. United States is regretting now? They have been been involved they have been involved in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Bahrain, in Oman, in Qatar. They are in Qatar. They are in Saudi Arabia. They are in Egypt. They are in Iraq. They are in Libya. They are in Syria. They are all over. Why they are inviting everyone? Who are they to go and invite everybody's country?
So let's,
they are putting themselves.
Let's put this case to Mr. Hellman in Washington. Now, Mr. Hellman, you say there that the United States would not be interested in any kind of military intervention, but I guess they're in London suggesting the opposite, say actually that the United States is actually militarily right now in Bahrain. It's got the Fifth Fleet there, and because it's important to protect those strategic interests, it's also said nothing, for instance, about the Saudi troops which entered Bahrain. They were seen as an occupying force as well. Your response?
Well, I think that the United States today, and even the United Nations, and certainly the Europeans and others, are looking at what is happening throughout the Middle East, and they say what we did in Libya when we helped effect a regime change for Gaddafi, and Mubarak out and Morsi in Egypt, and now a question who will rule in Syria and so forth, and even before this in Iraq, where we came in, invaded, and changed regime, I think is a big question as to whether, as to what comes next in every case. And the United States must ask if indeed the ruling government is overthrown in Bahrain or in Yemen, as the Syrian regime wished to have happen, or in other places, then what comes next? I think this is always the question, and it's not just a question for the U.S. naval base and the U.S. military and security interest, although the straits there are very important to the whole world for oil and other transport, and frankly, nobody trusts the Iran regime in Tehran today. The Iranian people are wonderful, but the Iran regime, nobody trusts them to respect the straits for free movement of oil and other goods.
So you think, Mr. Hellman, that the U.S. is being fair?
So I think it's a big security question, not just for the...
You think it's being fair on Bahrain?
Well, I think the United States... I'm going to do some more investigation and see whether at the State Department or in the U.S. Congress there is a sentiment for us doing more to do more to bring freedom and democracy and real respect for human rights in Bahrain, and to see how we can do that without affecting the security interests of. The Gulf states and the whole Middle East, and the transport of oil and other goods. These are very serious questions, and the jury is still out. Also, we need to see what happens in the Iran elections. Perhaps in the Iran elections, there will be a triumph of the Green Revolution, and the whole Iran government will change, and peace and prosperity will break out in the Middle East.
Okay,
we hope and we pray.
Okay, I still don't know how the situation in Iran you bring up is connected to the situation in Bahrain. I guess there in London was saying that, and we have a scene, of course,
well,
that there is...
Well, I think you have to connect the dots and see who in the Iran regime and in their security and intelligence services are helping to incite and foment a revolution in Bahrain. Let us not kid ourselves.
Okay, so I'll stop you there, Mr. Hellman, just
surely
because
are doing
we don't
this
have a lot of time. Because what you raised there, I just want to bring it up with our guests in London as well. Mr. Al-Hashimi, when we hear about the Bahraini uprising in a lot of the Western media, we hear words like the Shiite-led uprising in Bahrain, but a lot of people, a lot of activists that we've been speaking to have been saying this is not the right way to describe it. This is not about the Shias and the Sunnis, and this should be described as it is, which they say is national. And this Shiite aspect to it is how people describe it when they want to connect it with Iran as well, saying that Iran is supporting the Shias, etc. Tell us what you think about this.
Well, that's what was the foreign minister of Bahrain was trying to say in his declaration accusing the Iranian leader and Iran being involved in Bahrain, and trying to reflect in his talk that he wanted to teach the Iranian, the Islam, the true Islam. While we believe, however, I mean, out of that, but I mean, we believe that the Al-Khalifa themselves does not know the Islam, and otherwise, why would have they made the Bahrain as a center for international sex, if that is the Islam? How can they demolish a mosque? Yesterday was the mosque number 47, was demolished in a place called Samahij, and the Holy Quran was burned in that mosque. Then also another thing, why would they have been selling all this liquor and bringing all the ladies from all over the world bringing another businessman from the Gulf for those ladies and let them meet in Bahrain, making yes. Bahrain is the center for a sex. Number three and most important, let me remind you, 20 years, this is not from today, this is also already from more than 40 years ago.
Sorry for jumping in here, I'm really sorry, we are short of time. I'd just like to get concluding remarks from both of you. So I'll quickly go to Mr. Hellman and I'll come back to you. Mr. Hellman, a lot has been said about the type of government right now in Bahrain. It is basically a dictatorship, it is a monarchy, and there's also a lot being said about their actions in revoking people's citizenship, doing whatever they want. Now, the question is, why should the United States be willing to keep the Al Khalifa rulers in Bahrain, not saying that these are rulers that are endangering the lives of their own people?
Yes, I think that we must explore a new path. Just as there has been a monarch, Princess Beatrice in Holland, who is turning over the crown to her son, the prince. So too in Bahrain and in Jordan and in Morocco and in these other countries, we hope and we should help facilitate a progress toward a constitutional democracy. Think England or. Think Greece or Spain, where you have had a monarch, but you have full democracy, and the monarch is titular. I think we should move toward that.
Okay, thank you very much. And concluding remarks from Mr. Hashemi. Mr. Hashemi, tell us what you think. Do you think that right now the Al Khalifa rulers are going to go ahead with this oppressive approach and aggressive approach on the protesters, and how far are they willing to go?
I think the Bahraini people have said their words. It's finalized and the full stop after the point. We wanted a change. We have the right to vote. We have the right to select what kind of system do we want. Now we're calling up our United States. If they are still saying that they are our friends, let them help us stand our behind, not waiting for over 2 years with more than 20, more than 50 now people, 200 killed under the torturing and under the direct shot from the police youth. And also people are running away and they've been shooting from their jobs. Let the United States take its own responsibility and stand out in behind of their of our people if they remain saying that they are our friend.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ghassem Al-Hashmi, chairman of the Bahrain Freedom Spring, with us there live from London. A big thank you to our guest in Washington as well, Mr. Richard Hellman, president of the Middle East Research Center. That does bring us to an end of this edition of The Debate. From me, Homa Lizgi, until our next program, it's goodbye.